The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
All right, you guys have been asking for this one, getting request upon request upon request on the Twitter for this next guest. I'm delivering. I got her. I got the boss. Sasha Banks is here. Finally on Talk is Jericho. She's killing it at NXT. She's NXT Women's Champion. She got called up to the WWE Big Leagues, and now she has an amazing match with Paige on Raw. She's already in one of the hottest tag teams in the Divas division, Team Bad, Beautiful, and Dangerous. So many things to talk about. We talk about her training. She worked really hard to get to the WWE, and her training hasn't stopped. She's learning every day. She's really young. She's only getting better. Plus, she's Snoop Dogg's cousin. What? Had no idea about that. She is one of the biggest stars in the Divas division, and she's just getting started. Sasha Banks is here.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho, the pod of thunder and rock and roll. The remedy for boredom has arrived. The People's Podcast is here. Let's go for a ride with Bad Tattoo by Fozzy. Crank it up.
Mistakes in my life,
Right wanted to play a little Bad Tattoo. Such a killer song, and got a great reaction at Heavy Montreal this past week when Fozzy played. Great show. What a lineup there was. We actually got there, and we were kicking off the main stage. So it was a little bit early, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But listen, any stage that Slipknot is going to be playing on, I'll kick it off. You know what I mean? Put me on that stage and watch what happens. We had a great show. And there was thousands and thousands of people there at 1 o'clock. It actually really reminded me of a European festival where people get there early and stay late. They're ready to rock for everybody. Very eclectic lineup as well. You know, Fozzy, which I can't remember who was there. I'm trying to remember who was next. Fozzy was there, then Cold Chamber, then Dokken, then Bullet for My Valentine, Slipknot, Lamb of God. So you had kind of all aspects of the rock and roll rainbow there. Bullet for My Valentine will be on Talk Is Jericho very, very soon. Great guys. But yeah, always cool to play a big festival like that. You know, when you're playing your own show, if we go to Montreal, we draw 500 people. That's preaching to the choir. People know what to expect. They're excited to see Fozzy. When you go play Heavy Montreal, there's maybe, you know, 10,000 people watching at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And maybe those same 500 know Fozzy and the rest have never seen us before. Might have heard the name, might have been aware of the Fozzy phenomenon, the Fozzy legend, but have never actually seen us play live. So that's how you gain new fans. And at a festival like Heavy Montreal, everybody's coming to have a good time. Everybody's coming to have fun. Everybody's coming to rock. So it was a really, really killer, killer experience. And we've been trying to get on Heavy Montreal for years. We finally got the invitation, and I think it was mission accomplie, as they say in France, and in Montreal and in Quebec. We had a signing after. They had to shut it off because cut the line because we had too many people. But all that is good. That's what you want. It shows that there's a lot of interest and that people are excited to see us in Montreal. And we had a show the day before in Hamilton, which was cool as well. I got into Toronto the night before, Friday night. And I got through customs and I rented a car, got finished at 6 o'clock. I was in my hotel at 6 o'clock. And I was kind of a little bit tired because I'd had an early day and been working lots. So I was just kind of lying around my room, took a little bit of a nap, you know, kind of lazy, wondering if I should go out and do something or whatever it was. So finally it's about 9 o'clock and I'm like, well, I don't know, I'm probably just going to stay in, but I should just see what's on in Toronto, what's going on tonight, just to, you know, just to check it out. And I go online, and guess who's playing in Toronto? Van Halen at the Molson Amphitheater. Oh, yeah, guess who else is playing in Toronto? Faith No More at the Ricoh Coliseum. So there's two huge bands playing, like, literally 20 minutes from where I am, and I'm now stuck inside. And, like, I've been waiting to see Van Halen all summer. Not sure if I'm even going to get a chance to see them, if I'm going to run into them anywhere. But I was like, you know, you got to be kidding me. Van Halen's playing tonight. I had a night off. I had nothing to do. So now I'm kind of in the twilight zone. Like, what time do they start? And what time is the show? And should I still try and go down there and check it out? And I don't know what to do. So, and I'm usually never like this. It kind of made me mad. I was kind of willy-wally, dilly-dallying there for 15 minutes. So finally, like, you know what? I got to go. I got to go check it out. I got to go try. So I jump in the car, start driving down towards the Molson Amphitheater. And I call the box office. The doors opened at 6:30. The show started at 7:30. Kenny Wayne Shepherd opened the show. He goes to 8:15. Then Van Halen comes on at 8:45. And now it's like 9:20. And I'm like, well, I've missed half an hour of the show. So I go up and pull up the set list of the tour that they're doing. And see, they got a lot of great songs in the first half and the second half. I'm still going to try and make it there. Hot for Teachers is that kind of the middle of the set, a little bit further. Towards the end, so let's see, 60% into the set. But that's my favorite Van Halen song. So if I can see Hot for Teacher, I'll pay the money and go. So I'm running, driving as fast as I can down to the Molson Amphitheater. Finally get there, and I go to park, and it's like parking lot is closed. Then I go to park at the next place, parking lot is closed. Next place, parking lot is closed. I finally go park in the middle of a park, like a athletic park. And there's like a bunch of parking meters, and I'm parking where there's no meter. I'm just making up my own parking space now. And I start to run, and I'm like, I run into an area, and then it's a chain link fence. Then I got to run back out again. And I look at my little GPS, put it on walking, and see that I'm like 25 minutes away. Like, I'm like a mile and a half away. So that's not going to cut it. So I get back in the car. I drive back towards the amphitheater, and now I'm just like, I don't care. So there's like all these kind of steel grate gates at the end of the driveways where you're not supposed to park, says parking full. I just drive
into the outdoor, basically, if I can coin a phrase from Led Zeppelin. I go up the exit, just trying to find a parking space, and I park in like a security area where all the security cars are. And I'm like, okay, number one rule is if you're somewhere that you're not supposed to be, just act like you're supposed to be there. So I park the security in the security lot, and I start running down like these steps, and I'm kind of on a hill, and I can hear Van Halen playing Hot for Teacher. And it's like, oh, shit. So now I'm going to miss Hot for Teacher. So now it's like I can't justify paying for 7 songs or 8 songs. But I'll still try and see, like, you know, is the box office even still open? Problem is the Molson Amphitheater is kind of in the middle of a lake in Toronto. And I don't know how to get across this lake to the box office. So now it's futile. I'm running back and forth. I can't find the box office. I don't know where I'm going. Hot for Teacher is done. I can't see Van Halen, but I can hear them perfectly. You know, kind of drifts across the water. And it's like, I feel like I'm standing basically like in the 10th row. Can't see them, but I can hear them. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to stand out here and listen. And I look around, the Van Halen goes into In a Simple Rhyme, which is a pretty cool, obscure song. And I'm like, yeah, I want to hear that. So I stand there with a handful of about 7 other vagrants, bums, bicyclists, romantic couples, and listen to Van Halen in the parking lot, basically across the lake. And some people walk by me, and I don't know how people do this, but 2 people walk by me like, is that Chris Jericho? And I just look at the ground. I'm like, I don't have to explain this. So yeah, I'm standing outside as if I'm like 16 years old and can't afford the ticket to get into the Van Halen show. But I heard the rest of the set, Simple Rhyme, and they went into Ice Cream Man, and Ain't Talking About Love, and Eddie did his solo, and then there's Panama, and then, of course, Jump. And then halfway through Jump, I walk back to my car in the security lot, surrounded by security guards, by the way, in their uniforms. I just keep walking. Wave at one guy, how are you? Get in my car and drive out through the outdoor into the night. So I didn't get a chance to see Van Halen, but I heard the last 40% of the show, and it was smoking. But I guess no matter what happens, there's no excuse. You must rock and roll. But the number one rule is that anytime you get into a town, when you have the night off, always make sure you go check out, you know, one of those. Just Google it. What's happening in Toronto tonight? What's happening in San Diego tonight? What's happening in, you know, Sheboygan, Wisconsin tonight? Find out what bands are in town and make your plans accordingly before you even get into your hotel room. Because had I planned ahead and known, I could have went straight from the airport to the Van Halen gig. Could have seen the whole. I could have seen Kenny Wayne Shepherd too if I wanted to. Could have waltzed in that sumbitch and bought a front row ticket. But alas, I listened to it from across the lake. Did you learn a lesson?
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Talk is on. Talk is Jericho.
Okay, so I'm here with Sasha Banks, and it's really hard for me because from Canada, for whatever reason, it's always Sasha.
Yeah.
And it's pasta and drama.
Oh, Sasha works.
It's got to be. I got to sit right there. It's funny because last week you were on Tough Enough.
Yeah.
And I actually was writing some notes, and I spelt your name S-A-W-S-H-A, so really? Sasha. So at least I would know how to pronounce it right. Yeah. But yeah, it's like this is it's huge to have you. Like I have a lot of people requesting, can you get Sasha Banks? Get Sasha Banks.
That's
and I'm
so
like,
cool.
I gotta get this Sasha Banks and find out what's going on with this Sasha Banks here. So it's huge. You made a huge impression already in such a short period of time.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor for me to be here. I'm like marking out a little bit inside.
When I text you, it's funny because I don't have everybody's numbers, whatever. So I always ask, you know, get permission. Can I have this person, that person? And then they said, can I get Sasha? They said, yeah. I said, well, can I get her number? So I got to be like the creeper, like, hey, it's Jericho.
Like, no way. It's really Jericho. This is so cool. I'm like, whoa.
But I mean, it's been pretty a pretty big couple of weeks for you.
It's been amazing.
With this new kind of divas revolution that's happening.
Yes.
I mean, how are you feeling about everything that's going on so far?
So far, it's been absolutely insane. Everything just seems like it's going so fast, and I haven't even had a second to be like, holy shit, I made my debut, and within that week I had a pay-per-view match, I had a singles match on Raw, it's going so fast, and it's just amazing to see how far women's wrestling has come.
Mm-hmm.
And to be part of this revolution and to see how it's taking off and to see where it's going to go, it's absolutely insane. But it's exciting.
Because you guys really have, like, over the last few years in NXT, and I don't know, I want to talk to you about this, if it was a conscious decision or just a natural progression of how, like you said, revolutionizing what women's wrestling is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, watching some of the matches that you guys have had, and I haven't seen all of them, but I watched quite a few. It's like with Becky.
Yeah.
With Charlotte, like just incredible matches that almost remind me of like late 80s, early 90s All Japan women.
Yeah.
Which were like the women were working as good or better than the men were.
Yeah, and that's always been my dream since I've wanted to be in the WWE. I've always wanted to wrestle like the guys, but growing up, I never really had that woman figure of seeing that in the WWE because the time I was watching, it was all bra and panties matches, and you had to be on the cover of Playboy to get a storyline, and it was just like so frustrating for me to watch that and just to know that this is what I wanted to do when I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
But I always watched guys like Eddie Guerrero and you and Rey Mysterio and Dean Malenko, and I always wanted to be like that. And just to come to NXT, because when we first started, they told us to wrestle like divas, and it's like, What exactly is that?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Exactly. We didn't know.
Okay.
They're just like, be girly, do hair pulling, do cat fights. And we're just like, that's not what we wanted, you know? So we kept striving and kept putting on these matches, and we made them pay attention to us. And we almost recreated our own opportunity to have the matches that we have now, and it's taken off. And now that you see, we're on Raw, we're doing it, and we're getting two segment matches, two diva matches.
Yeah, two separate matches on a show. Yeah.
Every week on Raw, and it's just like, when has that ever happened?
Mm-hmm.
Never has that ever happened. And just like, I'm really, really, really excited to see how much it's going to grow, because you saw last night, Ronda Rousey.
34 seconds.
34, like she is changing the game, and women are just, they're changing the world. And, you know, I would love to main event and pay-per-view someday.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's, but one of my dreams, you know.
You have, haven't you? Or
not a pay-per-view, a live event, an NXT, okay, live NXT event. Live, yeah. Event.
Was it because there's NXT like takeover specials as well? Did you ever do a main event on that?
No.
Okay, but
no.
The live events.
Yes, and the TV tapings I've had, which when they told me that, I freaked out inside. And we had an NXT show in Philly, in Philadelphia, and they told me that me and Charlotte were main eventing, and I lost it. I just started crying. I'm like, in front of the Philly fans, like,
right.
You know the reputation of them, like. I was so nervous, but we had that match, and everybody stood up and applauded, and nobody left the arena. And I just felt so thankful and honored that, you know, I get to do this.
Just the confidence that the company has, and keep this in mind as well. Yes, it's NXT, but don't forget, it's still all under Vince McMahon's banner. He's still approving what's going on.
Yeah.
And to have a women main event, that's not a gimmick. Mm-hmm. And not that there, I think there was maybe on Raw a couple of women's main events.
Yes.
It was Stephanie and Lita, and then
it was Trish and Lita.
Trish and Lita, was Stephanie involved, or was it just a straight single match?
Yeah, it was a straight single.
Okay, so that was the last one.
Yeah,
because I remember there's another one. I think where Rock was the ref.
Yes.
And there was all this, but that's been 12 years, 10 years. You know, and for you guys to now be reemerging to main eventing house shows in Philly.
In Philly. Oh, my God. It's crazy.
That's a huge vote of confidence from the company.
Yeah. It's insane. I don't know. It's just, I'm so humbled by it. I'm so thankful. It's crazy.
So when you were watching and you're talking about, like you said, the bra and panties matches and all that sort of thing, and that's just the way that it was at that point in time. You know, because there's a lot of those girls were great athletes, but it was all based around what your body looked like in a bikini.
Exactly.
You know? So when you were watching that as I'm assuming probably a teenager, were you thinking like, okay, this is what I'm gonna have to do? Or were you thinking maybe it'll change? Or were you digging it? Or how was
I
it
was
for
definitely
you?
Not digging it, but I definitely had in my mindset that I was going to settle for it because I love WWE, and I knew that to be in the WWE and to be a female, that I would probably have to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I always settled that I knew that I would have to wrestle models and have like maybe 3-minute matches. But when I got here in NXT, like, I didn't want that. I couldn't settle for that, especially when they started to give us more time. And I was just like, wow, we're getting good reviews for this and people are really paying attention. Like, I can't settle for 3 minutes sure. of wrestling. Like, I work way too hard and that's not my dream. Like, if you're not going to go full force for your dream, then why even try?
Mm-hmm.
So I always settled for it, but at the same time, I don't know why I did. Like, I always knew that I was going to be in the WWE, but I never knew how or when, because I never was confident with my looks growing up or just a lot of things. But then when I finally got the call that I got signed, and you know, at that time it was when a lot of the divas were leaving, and I was like, oh my god, what a great time to be in
the
WWE.
Opening up, right?
But then they started Total Divas, and then we kind of got pushed back a little bit, and then we could just kind of had to work towards something different for a while, and then NXT happened, and that just opened the doors for, you know.
Well, let me ask you amazing things. The whole NXT women's division is based. There's 4 or 5 of you. I mean, there's Charlotte, there's Bailey, there's Becky, yeah. And there's
me.
There's you, Sasha.
There's four. We call ourselves the four horsewomen.
But four of you came. Only 3 of you have come up so far.
Yes.
Right. So we're still waiting.
We're waiting for Bailey. We need her.
So when you first came into NXT, did you know any of those other girls? Because you're telling me they said work like divas, and then you're saying, what does that mean? And I'm asking, like, what does that mean? Hair pulling?
Exactly. When I started,
butts in the face, stink faces or whatever.
I started with Paige, Summer, and Emma, and they all got called up before me. But yeah, that's just what they told us. They didn't want us to work like guys. They said, no punches, no forearms, no kicks, no striking. Just pull hair and do this stuff. And we're just like, what is this?
Right.
And Sara Del Rey came in and she's like, what do you mean? What is this diva style that you're talking about? And she was not for it. And she still trained us like the guys, you know.
Well, maybe there's the link, because Sara was very critically acclaimed on the indies for being like this incredible worker. So when she gets hired as a coach in NXT, was that kind of the difference that kind of started getting you guys to work a different way?
I believe so, because she's the first female coach that we ever had in WWE.
Yeah.
And she's never been in the WWE. So that says something for itself, and that says something for her work and where she's come from and how hard she worked. So I definitely think that they looked at that and they said, you know, let's give her a chance. Let's see what she can do with these women. And, you know, here we are now. But, you know, not only Sara has taught me, like, I've learned from Joey Mercury and from the best, Norman Smiley. I have to give him so much credit, because I would not be the wrestler who I am today if it wasn't for him. He is definitely the backbone of developmental. Like, he has the patience of a freaking angel. He is the best. I love him to death.
That's so interesting, because Norman and I worked together for years in Mexico. And one thing led to another that I was able to help Norman get that job in there.
Ugh,
so for me to hear that, because he did the same for me in 93. My first match ever in Mexico of any merit was against the champion.
He's amazing.
Who was Black Magic, and I was a nobody. But instead of like squishing me or just doing a quick match so we can get back on the plane and go back to Mexico City, we had like a 30-minute, for me, classic match. He put me on the map.
Yeah.
So I know what Norman can do, and patience is what you said, patience. So how does Norman, what is his influence on you guys?
For me, like, I don't know if people get it, but the number one thing he's taught me was to stay close. Stay close to your opponent.
Really?
That means, like, how he taught me is, like, there was a saying he said, you can't throw Skittles at a 6-month-year-old and expect something that they're going to catch it. You have to legit spoon feed them to see that what's coming. And that just always connected in my mind, and that changed my matches completely.
So was he equating the audience to the 6-year-old or to like a worker in the ring?
Yes, both.
Both, okay.
Both. So he's so patient, and if you don't get something the first time, he's not going to be like, quit, start over. Like, you're never going to get it. He's like, of course you're not going to get it the first time. You're not going to get it the first month. You're going to get it within 6 months. You're just going to keep trying. And he's amazing. I can't, there's nothing bad I can say about Norman.
So when you got to NXT, Was there any of the other kind of the famous four or whatever? What do you call yourselves?
The Four Horsewomen.
The Four Horsewomen. Sorry. Were the other Four Horsewomen there, or were you the first? Or
no, first it was Charlotte, mm-hmm. and then a couple months it was me. Mm-hmm. Then Bailey came, and then Becky came, and it wasn't until this year where people really took notice of our matches from NXT, thanks to the takeovers, and it really started. Well, we have to give credit to Paige and Emma because they had the first takeover match, and they really laid it on the map for us. Mm-hmm. So when they got called up to the main roster, and there was like this little empty space, and there was finally a time for me to step up, because nobody knew who I was when they were there. It was all about Paige and Emma and Summer, and I was just in the background, just waiting patiently for my turn, and just so happy and honored to be there. But finally the boss character came into play. Like, I just turned it up inside what I really felt, because I wasn't being used. And I was getting so frustrated that I would train so hard every single day and they wouldn't use me. And I knew in my heart that I was a good wrestler. I didn't have the character at the time. So I put in my work with my character, and finally the boss came out. And finally, these crazy matches that I had with Charlotte and the storyline with her, and having, matches with Bailey and my takeover with Becky, and people calling in that one of the best women's matches they've ever seen.
It was a great match.
Like, that boggles my mind.
And I'll say that, I've seen a lot of women's matches. So when people said it, I checked it out, and it was an excellent match.
Thank you.
Really, really good. And like I said, late 80s, early 90s women's wrestling, which I don't know if you ever watched it.
Yes, I did.
Miami Toyota and Hakuto.
One of my favorites.
Really?
Yes. I love Japanese women's wrestling.
Oh, no kidding.
I wanted to go to Japan so bad before I even came to WWE, because, again, that was the style that I looked up to and what I watched, because I was admired by it. I was like, no way, there's women that actually wrestle like men. Like, I want to go there.
How did you find out about it?
YouTube.
About it? Okay,
yeah.
Right.
I went to an online school, and I didn't even go to, I didn't go to school. I just watched on YouTube wrestling all the time. That's all I did.
So an online school for?
For high school.
For high school.
Yeah.
Okay, it's almost homeschool or something?
Pretty much.
Okay. So homeschool and then watching
wrestling.
Watching
it's all wrestling. That's
so
it.
How did you feel when you first saw Manami Toyota or Kira Hakuto?
Oh my God, I just thought that was insane. Mm-hmm. These women were legit beating each other up. But I was admired by it. I was yes. Women who fight like men, that's what I want to do. But, in the 2000s, they don't wrestle like that anymore.
Right.
It's not as big as it used to be. So, it just never happened, mm-hmm. I really wanted to go to Japan and Mexico. That's always been my dream, but WWE got me
first.
That's right. So, good.
Well, because you're fairly young.
Yes, I'm 23.
23.
But I feel like I'm 40.
Just wait till you're in the business for a couple years. You'll be grizzled soon enough. The thing that impresses me about you is watching and doing some research is that you just mentioned you found this character mm-hmm. of the boss.
Yeah.
And to find that at 23, that's pretty rare. It takes a while to figure out who you are as a person in general when you're 23 years old. But now you found this whole alter ego. What was the catalyst to figure out how did the boss come about?
How did it come about? So like I said, I started with NXT and just no character. I was just myself, just so happy to be there. Just a loser, a mark, that got signed. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
And I was just getting frustrated that, the fans didn't really connect to me at that time. And I just kept sitting at home just what am I missing? What am I doing? What am I doing wrong? And I actually talked to Tyler Breeze, who has been there for a long time, and he finally came into that Tyler Breeze character from before. He was just, I don't even remember what his other character was, but he was just nothing,
Yeah, he's a nondescript guy.
And he really helped me. He's just get a list of characters, have a background story, and just figure out what fits you the most. And the first thing I had was the boss, because my cousin is Snoop Dogg, and he calls himself the boss, and I was just like,
what?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, this works. I know I can just call him for, one-liners and all that stuff. And that's what I did. And it just kind of kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I just, I kept watching things on the TV. And it was all Nicki Minaj and all this at the time. And here I am, the boss of NXT.
So you taken that one little piece of the boss.
Yes.
And then suddenly and that just involved gives you it. To all these other things.
Yes.
So Snoop Dogg is your cousin?
He's my cousin.
Like your first cousin?
My first cousin.
Really?
Yeah.
So your mom and his mom are sisters?
My
or?
Dad is his dad. Well, my that dad is
hilarious.
Uncle.
I yeah. never knew that. Yeah. I did not know even an inkling of that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that.
Did you guys like, because he's older than you.
He's way older than me. Right. He can be my dad.
Yeah, right. Like he's, yeah. Did you ever like hang out with him?
Oh
all,
my God. Anytime he would come to a wrestling show, I would beg him to take me. So I got to go to like 2 WrestleManias with him. I got to go to a Raw and I would legit cry and call him. I'm like, please take me with you. Please take me with you. So he took me to WrestleMania when I was 16 and I swear to God, I thought I was going to get signed just because I was like, can I meet Vince? Can I? And of course nothing happened, but yeah.
So
he's a huge fan and he supports it. And it's awesome to see that he can see me from when I was 8 and I always told him that I was going to be a wrestler and everyone was just like, yeah, right. And now I'm here doing it, you know.
Did you ever ask him for any like advice about being in show business at all?
No.
Okay.
No, never. We just always talked about wrestling.
That was
yeah,
your connection.
That was our connection. He loved it. I loved it. My whole family loved it.
He's been a star for 20 years, odd years. So
yeah.
since
I was born,
your
since
whole
92,
life, he's
yeah.
been a star. You grew up with this famous cousin.
Yeah, it's
did
been it, crazy.
Did it ever help you, like when you're in high school or like meeting boys or anything like that?
It made me be a little bit cool. When he would have a concert, I'd be like, yeah, I'm going. Oh, you want to go? Ugh. You better ask. That's right. So I definitely felt cool at some points, but, you know, it didn't
did
really matter
like,
to me.
So, like, it was, like, to impress somebody, you would, like, take him to a concert? Did you ever get, like, a signed autograph or anything like that?
Of course, I did that
would
all
you?
The time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to show that I was cool, you know what yeah. I mean? I wanted to be a cool kid.
But now it's conversely. I'm sure there's
yes.
people who think it's cool that he knows
the
you.
The other way around, yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, because Snoop is a huge wrestling fan, too. He's performed WrestleMania. He's been backstage. He was the GM a bunch of times.
Yes.
You know, that sort of thing, too. Are you from L.A. or where are you from?
I am originally from California, Fairfield, okay. the Bay Area. But I call Boston home because that's just, like, that's where I felt right, and that's where I started training.
Hmm.
So that's where I just came into my own of, you know, getting to live my dream, so.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Let me ask you one last thing about your training. Where did you actually start training?
At Chaotic Wrestling.
And that's in Boston?
It's in Boston, yes.
So were you in the Boston area already, or did you fly there?
No.
How did you get hooked up with them?
So my mom moved there for work, and it was a week before my 18th birthday, and they were doing a fantasy camp at the Chaotic Performance Center. And I remember I trained so hard, and I got there, and all it was these fat Jeff Hardy wannabes, and I was just like, this is it? But the person who won that fantasy camp got free training for 3 months. And I just worked so hard, and I was the only girl there, and I won the camp, and that's how I began my training.
Who was training you?
My trainers were Brian Fury, Brian Malonis, and Handsome Johnny.
Okay.
So I had 3 trainers at the time, and they're incredible.
Were you the only girl in the...
I was the only girl.
So you'd be training with
guys? I trained all the guys, yeah.
Hmm. So when you were growing up, you're a big wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Who did you like to watch?
My number one was Eddie Guerrero.
Mm.
Oh, my favorite of all time. I love HBK. I love you. So that's why I'm marking out. God, I love Dean Malenko. I loved all the, like, the grapplers, the cruiser, like all that mm-hmm. style.
What did you like best about Eddie?
People ask me that, and I don't know what made me connect to him so much. But he was the first match that I saw that got me hooked on wrestling. Because before that, I was such a girly girl. I swear I was going to be a beauty queen, and then wrestling was on my TV, and I was instantly hooked, and I couldn't stop watching every single week. And it was an Eddie match, and just everything about him, I just love. I want to be the female Eddie Guerrero. He's, God, the greatest of all time to me. I love everything about him.
And I was talking with Conan a couple of days ago, and we were talking about Eddie, and possibly could be one of the best total package performers of all time. Because the thing that Eddie had that not a lot of guys have is if he was a baby face, you fell in love with him.
Yes.
If he was a heel,
you hated him. Yes.
He could do both to the utmost degree.
Yes.
And that's not something that a lot of guys can do. Most guys are good at one or the other.
He's incredible. Know? Absolutely incredible.
Did you ever go to the matches live?
Yes, all the time.
Oh, in where? In California?
In Minnesota. So I lived everywhere.
I saw that your number was a Minnesota number.
Yeah, and yeah. I still have it, and I haven't lived there in like over 10 years. Oh, okay. I just have never switched it right. For some reason. Yeah, I lived everywhere because I have a brother with disabilities, so we just moved around a lot just to find the right hospitals and the right, you know, schools for him. And at the time, I was in Minnesota, and it's one of my sad stories. I was at the show where Eddie had passed away.
You're kidding me.
So my favorite wrestler of all time, and I was at that show in Minnesota, and I just thought to God, I'm like, why did you do this to me, God? So that's like one of the most heartbreaking things
wow.
ever.
Because he passed away before
in Minnesota.
Before the show.
Yeah, and the day before, I had won tickets to be front row. So I thought it was a sign that, like, yeah, I get to meet Eddie Guerrero and I get to see him. And he had passed away
the next
day. So
as a fan going to the show, when did you find out that Eddie had passed away? Was there an announcement or was it just word on the street?
It's such a sad story. So I went to church that morning, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't turn on a radio or a TV or nothing. And I made my little sign that said, I love Eddie Guerrero. And I went to the arena and I saw all these signs that said, rest in peace, Eddie, and we'll miss you, Eddie. And I just thought in my head, oh my God, everyone in Minnesota must hate Eddie. Because I thought in my head that he's going to wrestle the Undertaker or something.
Right.
Because what was scheduled was supposed to be Eddie versus Batista versus Randy. And, you know, as a kid, you didn't know. And I legit thought he was going to wrestle the Undertaker. And then I remember a fan came up to me and he said, you know Eddie died, right? And I go, no. He's like, yeah, he died in his hotel this morning. I go, no. So it just felt like a hammer hit my heart and the glass didn't shatter. And I was just like in shock because I looked at my mom and my mom was just like, I'm so sorry, sweetie. I know you're his favorite. And I was just like, I just died inside. That was my favorite wrestler of all time. And I just thought to God, I'm like, God, why did you do this to me? Like, why?
That is unbelievable.
It's
story.
Crazy,
you didn't
right?
even know. And you had
I didn't
a sign.
Know. And I had a sign that said, I love Eddie, and I wanted him to see it.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. So how did they announce that at the arena? Did they say anything, or did they just...
It was just all over
business
the news.
As usual? But yeah. I mean, as far as the show.
Oh, no. They had a tribute show for him. So
that was the pay-per-view, though?
It was a Raw.
A Raw.
It was a super
gotcha.
Show.
Okay.
A Raw and
gotcha.
A SmackDown, and they just dedicated the whole show to him.
Wow. So you stayed?
Of course, I stayed.
Yeah.
Oh, It was really hard. But.
So do you think that with that story, and that's a
it's crazy,
crazy
right?
story. Like, yeah, like that stirs my heart. Did that influence you in any way, shape, or form? Like, you know, that now I have to do this or I have to, like, you know, did it give you more incentive to want to follow this dream?
No, because at that time I was even looking at wrestling schools. I was 13 at the time. Mm-hmm. And I remembered I messaged legit every school in the whole state, like in Minnesota. I even messaged someone in Canada and California and New Jersey, and I asked, will you please train me, and how much is it? And everyone's like, no, you have to be 16, you have to be 18. So I actually joined an MMA school to help me with wrestling because I watched an RVD DVD, and I just thought, oh, that might help me with wrestling. But it's always been my dream since I was 10, and legit, when I tell you every single day I dreamt about wrestling, I dreamt about wrestling every single day, 24 hours. And when I finally turn 18, I'm like, Mom, this is what I'm doing. I'm sorry. I get to sign the paper myself, but this is it. Like, this is all I've loved, and this is all I've known legit since I was 10. And I don't know anything else. I have no plan B. This is my life,
but
and I love
knew.
It. She knew the passion, yes.
Yeah. See, to me, like, I did not know that. And once again, you're talking, and nothing against anybody that's ever stepped in the ring I have respect for, but you're talking about the divas of the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, they were going through swimsuit model catalogs and saying, how about her?
A diva
you
search,
try
yes.
this? And if you could go, and some diva search, but some like even like Kelly and just kind of taken right out of a catalog.
Yeah.
And if you could kind of go through the training and survive, and if you had the aptitude to stick with it, you would be a diva.
Yeah.
But you're telling me this is something that you've done or wanted to do since you're 10 years old.
Yes.
Now you're starting to get into my territory because that was like for me.
Yeah.
Where you're telling, did you tell your friends this? And
I told all my friends
and
they just laughed.
Right.
They just couldn't believe it. Like, But I love telling people because they would never guess, and they would. I liked when they laughed at me because I just always knew that I was going to show them. So you know, when I got here, I was just like, "In your face!" And then when I won the NXT Championship, I'm like, "In your face!" And then when I debuted on Raw, I was just like, "Dude, in your face! I did it!" Like, oh my god, it's.
Did you ever have a moment like this? I remember this specifically. I used to go to church, and the pastor was a really cool guy. And right before I left Winnipeg to go to Calgary, it was like literally like 2 days before or whatever, I can't remember why I was on the front of the stage, or he called me up and said, you know, hey, Chris is moving to Calgary to go become a pro wrestler. And people laughed. And I remember still vividly listening to people laugh at me because I wanted to go be a wrestler. I might as well say I was going to be a sword swallower or a mime. And that really infuriated me, pissed me off. Like in this house of positivity, you're going to laugh at me.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Did you ever have anything like that?
That's exactly what happened to me. So, because I went up because my mom pushed me up on the stage because they asked for a prayer request.
Oh, at church
yeah,
too?
At church, yes.
You too?
So I went up and I asked everyone to pray for me. I'm like, hey, I'm going to do this fantasy camp for wrestling and I really hope I win because if I don't win, I won't be able to afford to train for wrestling. And they all laughed at me.
Oh.
And I just was like, okay, well, thank you for the ones that will pray for me. And then the week later, I got it, and I went back because then you have to go up and say, you know, if it happened. I'm like, well, I won the fantasy camp, so thank you for the ones who prayed for me. And just everyone's just like, you're going to train to be a wrestler? I'm going, yes, I am. Thank you very much. God bless you.
No. So here's the moral of the story. If you ever go to church and someone comes up to the front and says, don't laugh.
Don't laugh.
Because it scarred both of us for life. But maybe gave us the fire. Because I was like, I am not going back there ever.
Absolutely.
I don't think I ever did go back. I'm definitely not going back unless I really make it.
Yes.
So when you're talking about this fantasy camp and you had to win, what did you have to do to win?
Whoever impressed the coaches the most. And so what it was just basic, like just your bumps, hitting the ropes, conditioning. And that was it. And cutting a promo. Oh, my God. That was so hard. And I was so shy. They're like, you ready for your promo? I'm like, I didn't know that we're going to do that, but sure. So, yeah, I just impressed them by that. And, you know, thank God, because I didn't have a single dime. And I wouldn't have not been able to pay for training. And thankfully, they never let me pay for training because I just wrestled for them for free and just kept trying to make a name for myself.
Well,
in the
fact too that they chose a woman to win the fantasy thing, that's you must have really impressed.
I hope so. Well, I did. Yeah, and now look at me.
What was your wrestling name? Your first wrestling name?
Mercedes KV.
What does KV stand for?
My last name, Kestner Bernardo, because they're just like, well, you need a last name, because in the Indies, there's a girl named Mercedes Martinez, and I didn't want to change my name. I love the name Mercedes. So I'm just like, Mercedes KV? I had no idea.
What
I didn't know what
they're
doing.
You're very exotic. So we know that you're there's some black in there.
Got a little hood in me. And German. That's it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're very exotic looking.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. So the KV is what now?
Kestner Bernardo. It's German and
you and
African?
Kofi have the craziest last names. Kofi's like Sarkadi Mensah or something
so
like this.
It's so long. It's stupid.
So you're a Mercedes KV.
Yeah.
So you're working in the Boston area for Chaotic Championship Wrestling. Shout out to them.
Yes, they're awesome.
Did you start kind of working around the territory, or was it just
in
Massachusetts?
I worked all over Maine, Massachusetts, New Jersey. I even did a show in North Carolina, which they only paid me $25 for. But I just thought, if I travel outside, maybe I'll make a bigger name for myself. And I went to Chicago and just
kind of
wherever
expanding.
Anybody took me, I went.
Was there anybody that you work with that's here now?
Who's here? Yeah, there's a lot of people. A guy named Danilo, he's a ref now. I used to actually have matches with him.
Oh, really?
Kofi trained at the same school I did.
Oh, okay.
There was a guy named Max Bauer who was here. Sean Bennett, who's another ref, was a ref in Chaotic. That's about it.
But none of the girls?
Though. None of the girls, no.
Okay. Yeah, so you're here as basically an 18-year-old girl doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
Were you still living at home?
Yes.
Okay, so that too.
Yeah.
So how did you get connected with WWE?
How did it work? So the owner of Chaotic Wrestling was, I don't know, friends with somebody in WWE and always got his guys to be an extra. And there was a wrestling forum for all these indie guys, and it said the names of the guys that he chosen to be an extra. And I said, oh, that's weird. You never asked me to be an extra. How do I do that? And he's like, no, you're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. And I go, no, I'm ready. I want to be an extra to be for the WWE. So I just remember I looked up someone's email address, and I emailed them. I said, hey, can I be an extra? You guys are going to be in Boston. And he emailed me back saying yes. So I just kept being an extra, and I keep showing up.
So you just did it on your own?
I did it on my own. Because I'm like, you can't wait for anybody. Yeah. You can, especially in this business. You got to take it, and you got to go. And I just kept being an extra, and I kept asking them for tryouts. And I finally got the call to have a week tryout at FCW. And okay. I told myself that I'm not going to leave until I get signed. Hmm. And I got signed, so.
That quickly? Or
yeah.
After the week tryout? So you're obviously telling me, like, you, when it comes to tryouts, you're ready for it.
I'm ready for it.
You won the
yes
scholarship.
I don't take no for an answer if I want it. You know what I mean? I wanted it. Like, I'm not going to give up on this dream, and to have an opportunity like that, absolutely not. Mm. I'm not going to. I do not want to shit the bed, and I just try to do my best.
It's pretty early on too, though, because if that was FCW, that must have been 3 years ago.
Yeah, I've been here 3 years now.
So tell me about the differences. You know, when you first got to FCW, because now when you go to Orlando, to NXT Performance Center, Full Sail Studios, I mean, that place is
it's amazing.
Yeah. It's so crazy. But FCW was still a little bit more of an old school vibe.
Yeah, it was. Just a little warehouse, and the walls were all black, so you had no idea if it was sunny out or if it was dark, and you're just like, what's life? And we only had two rings, and legit, we trained for three hours, and then we got kicked out of the building because the next class had to come in, and that was it.
Hmm.
That was it, but now we're here in Orlando with the Performance Center with seven rings, and it's an awe. Like, for a wrestling fan to see that, it's absolutely insane. We are so spoiled by that building. Seven rings, amazing coaches from all over the world. We have a state-of-the-art gym. We have a room that we can practice our promos, a room we can watch back our matches, and we just did not have that FCW. Like, we would pray to watch our matches back, like, but we didn't have anything. So just
nobody has had that ever, by the
never.
Way.
Never. <just, laughs> we're so spoiled. It's insane. It's
So when
it's
you
beautiful.
Got to FCW, how many other girls was there?
At the time, I think there was only eight, and now we have like 13, 14, and we'll keep getting more.
Like 70 guys or something.
Oh,
like this.
So many guys.
What was your experiences with Dusty Rhodes?
Oh, might make me tear up. Absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, I miss him so much, and he helped me so much with my character and to be confident. I think that's like the most amazing thing that I can take away, because he never gave up on me, and he always believed in me. And God, anything you needed, you just go to Dusty, because he was everybody's grandpa. Legit. God, I miss him so much. It's not the same without him.
So how did he you know, I always hear about the Dusty Rhodes learning tree. Mm-hmm. I never got the chance to sit under it, but what would he tell you to give you confidence about character and that?
So we would have promo class every week with him, and we would have a minute to, you come up with your own promo, and you do it, and he would critique you, and he just had an eye for promo. Like, he is
the
king.
Master, right?
Oh my God, the king of promos. And if you just said something different, just like this way, or if you looked to the left of this moment, like, it would just change the whole promo and how you felt about it and like the story of it. And I just remember that when I first really started the Sasha Banks character, he would just always tell me, be sassier, baby, sassier. I want more sass from you.
Yeah, we always have a tradition that you have to actually
you
imitate.
Have to do it.
Yeah, you give it to me in a Dusty way.
Baby, Sasha, baby, I want it more sassier. More sassier, baby. You know you can do it, baby. You try that again. Give it one more minute, baby. Cassie, baby, one more minute. So I had to redo the promo, all nervous, and he never gave up. Mm-hmm. He never gave up on anybody, and I love him.
So would you have would you go to him and say, this is my idea for a character,
everything.
And then he would help you work with it, maybe?
Absolutely, with everything. Anything you needed from him, with creative-wise, he was there for you.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, not the same without him.
It's
there.
Definitely not the same
nor
without him.
Right.
It will never be. Well,
where
I'm
did
so
you get
lucky.
The name Sasha Banks?
Well, they just asked me for a list of names. So I had Sasha with a different last name and Banks with a different first name, and they just put it together and gave it to me.
What was some of the first
God, names? I had Maya, Jade. So I had so many names. I wanted a name so quick, so I just made a list.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
just take it and you just give me a name. But I love Sasha Banks. It sounds like a star name, and here
well,
I am.
The thing is, too, and here's the secret. There's so many different finishing moves you can use.
Yes.
Like, statement
and there's, so many bad names in wrestling, so I'm so thankful I got a good name.
Especially in NXT. Yeah. It's some of those guys like soap opera names.
Oh my,
like,
it's that you so say, bad. Like, I get it. I'm like, that's your new name? I'm sorry.
So, and it's, when you guys, did you get like a memo saying, hey, everyone's moving from Tampa to Orlando? Or was like a warning, like in 3 months we're changing locations? How did that whole thing go down?
Well, we kind of heard rumors that we're going to be moving. And then we finally all got the call that, you know, we're going to Orlando. So pack up your stuff and get ready. Because they were still in the process of making the building. And I guess within 3 months we had to move to Orlando. And we saw the building and we were just like, no way. This is all for us. I wish every fan can see what that building looked like.
Cause it's incredible.
It's really
yeah.
hard to describe, but it's insane. It's like a college for wrestling, legit.
Right.
Pretty much.
When you started working with the Four Horsewomen, was it instant chemistry right off the bat, or was it kind of a feeling out process? Like, how did you guys switch from don't work like or work like divas to working the style of match
how
that
did
you're having
we
now?
Switch? I don't know. I just remember my first day. Sarah made me lock up with Charlotte, and we locked up, and she was like, "Ooh, that was a good lockup," and it just felt right from that very first moment. So, I had a connection with all of them. Like, I love wrestling Bailey. We have such a good chemistry. Me and Becky always are so good, and me and Charlotte, like, we can hit each other just so hard and be okay, and like, we just look at each other and we know like there's something to it. Like, our matches have always just been crazy and insane. So I don't know what that moment was where it just finally clicked and people really took notice. Like,
well, you just said though, when you said that that lockup was good.
Yeah.
That is the most rushed and forgotten.
Yes.
Part of a match that, to me, I'll decide right off the bat if I like the match or not by the lockup.
Yeah.
A bad lockup pisses me off.
Exactly.
Like, it sucks.
It's the start of the match. It tells you what how good it's going to be. So.
And like, and that's shows that you have the foundations and the basics. You know what I mean? Because that's so important, is a strong lockup.
Yes.
I mean, it's such an old school.
And I love it.
Yeah. Because you can feel the.
You feel it.
You should get some slap off it.
Oh, yeah. Know, like, and that's exactly what me and Charlotte had, because I was like, ooh, ow, but I'm ready to go again. Let's do it.
Now, how is it working with her? Obviously, you know, her father just happens to be the greatest ever. You know, and a lot of pressure on her as a result.
Yes.
And Rick has had 3 kids, and the other 2 guys were never as good as Rick. Yeah. But Charlotte, in a way, not that anyone's ever as good as Rick, but there's definitely the aptitude is there.
She is incredible and the most amazing athletic person I have ever met in my whole life. The way that girl, she can touch her head to her toe. Like, every time I put her in a hold and I'm just like, holy cow, are you okay? Like, she can, she is so athletic, and she's incredible because the things that she's been through and has never given up, like for her brother to die. And she came back to the school a week later.
Right.
How strong do you have to be? And everything she's ever been through with the media, with her family, she is so incredibly strong. And my God, she definitely made a name for herself. She does not need her daddy's last name. She's here to prove a point, and she's here to be like her own, like to fill her own shoes, not to fill her daddy's.
Right.
You know, and she's definitely done that.
You guys are so lucky too, because I mean, I was had this too with Eddie and with Benoit and with, you know, Malenko and with Ray. You find this group of guys where all from different backgrounds, all grew up the same, just wrestling, and suddenly there's all similar skills and style. And when you have that, like you just mentioned, like I can work with Bailey or work with Charlotte or work with Becky, and you can interchange the 3 or the 4. That's a pretty cool thing. It's also very rare.
It's very rare, especially here. Like, the things that we have in common is that we love this, and we all, apart from Charlotte, not the time, but we all wanted to do this since we were a kid. But she was in this business since she was a kid. You know what I mean? She knows about it.
She just didn't know it, but she was going to be in it for
But the passion from those women, I love training with them. I love wrestling with them just because we all get along and we can all talk about wrestling and understand what wrestler we're talking about from 20 years ago. And it's so cool, man. It's really exciting.
Was there any girls that you looked up to? I mean, you mentioned Eddie and HBK and all those guys, but was there any of the girls that you looked up to when you were?
There wasn't really girls I looked up to. I loved watching, you know, Jazz and Jacqueline, and I loved Molly Holly and Victoria and Trish when they got to wrestle. I loved that. But yeah, it was always Eddie for me. I loved Eddie. Anything about Eddie, I was just like so in awe.
So when you guys were working at NXT, NXT has gotten so big now that it, and like I said, I haven't been on that side of the coin, but were you content staying in NXT, and or were you always like, I got to get to the big leagues now?
At the end, it was hard because we were just so spoiled. And like for me to have matches that were 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and then getting to main event, I was like, yeah, man, I can do this rest of my life. I like it. This is cool. But the hardest thing for me was knowing and the fact, like, if I get called up to the main roster, am I going to have a 3-minute match? Like, I wasn't content with that. But I knew it was going to change because we were changing in NXT. And there was a high demand of, you know, the women. They wanted to see the women. Like, they were excited to see the women. But, of course, I always wanted to be called up because that's always been my dream. That's what I wanted since I was 10. But I never really thought the day was going to happen because a year goes by, then the second years go by, and then the third year goes by, and you're just like, all right, what do I do? What exactly am I missing? And then I finally got the call, and I really didn't believe it until I walked through that curtain. And then I walked through that curtain, and I was like, no way this is real. Stephanie McMahon just introduced me, and what? I just put my finisher on Nikki Bella. Like, what?
It's so what did they insane. Tell you? Like, you know, how did you find out, okay, now you're finally going?
I just got the call from Carano that Saturday before, and he's like, yeah, we're gonna fly you out, this might be the deal, but we don't know, it might not be. So I wasn't gonna get too excited because, you know, in this business it always changed.
Yeah, you knew that.
I knew that. And so then I got to the arena, and they're like, you know it still could happen, it still can't. And I'm like, you know, I will not get excited until I come back from that curtain. And I remember he just I came back to that curtain, I broke down in tears because it just felt like everything I ever worked for, I finally did it, and it's insane.
You made it.
Yeah, I made it.
But I'd seen you a few times before, about probably a bunch of times, but I've
live events, yeah.
Specifically remember Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, that was my first house show.
What?
Yeah, for WWE.
Well, that's exactly
amazing, right?
Not exactly a little show either.
No.
How was that for you, kind of being a Boston girl?
It was insane, just because Madison Square Garden, that's it. That's the Mecca. And just to know that was my first, you know, live event for WWE, and I'm just like, oh, I'm so lucky. This is so cool. And it was against Nikki and Natty, and I had Charlotte as my tag team partner. And it was just, and we had Ric Flair there, too.
That's right, yeah.
And Vince was there, too. And I was just like, this is so crazy. And the fans knew who I was. And I was in NXT, and, like, we barely even had TV time on NXT. So
does that kind of blow your mind? Like, I remember we were in England last November, or whenever it was, and Zayn and Neville were on the show and getting great reactions, and they couldn't believe it. Did it blow your mind, like you mentioned, like Madison Square Garden, the NXT brand has really gotten so popular.
God.
And not even on conventional TV.
Exactly. It has totally blown my mind, especially doing live events for WWE, and to have people come out at the airports and know who I am and like waiting for me, and it hasn't even been announced. So I'm like, how do you even have a picture of me waiting? Like, how do you guys know this stuff? But to come out and hear the crowd reaction, to hear them say my name and even call me Ratchet, like, you only know to call me Ratchet if you have the WWE Network. If you
watch,
to watch NXT. It's insane how big NXT has become. It's legit the third brand. Like, it's not developmental. We're the third brand, and it's
very organic. Yeah. You know, you're talking about
different.
The Barclays Center show that's pretty much sold out, will be sold out.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that is unbelievable. NXT sold out.
I'm like legit shaking. Arena, I'm so nervous and excited. Like, I can't. That hasn't gone through my mind that we're going to be wrestling there the day before SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And it's going to be sold out.
Yeah.
What?
And it's all you guys.
All us. Yeah. Yes. It's insane.
No one else spoiling it.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
None
I'm
of us
so
idiots
cool.
there to spoil it.
Yes.
What's, you mentioned the Ratchet. What is that again?
So Ratchet means like a trashy ghetto girl. And okay. it's what the NXT fans call me. Sadly.
Those bastards.
Those bastards. Yes.
How did that start?
I just remember having a match with Emma, and they started chanting that at me, and I was really confused. I'm like, oh my God, are they calling me rat shit? Am I that bad? Like, what's going on? And I remember going through the curtain, and everyone's like, oh my God, they just called you Ratchet. I'm like, what exactly does that mean? And they explained to me what that means. I was like, all right, I'll take that reaction, then no reaction. It just kind of took off on its own.
it's funny because last week on Tough Enough, we have a girl on the show named Amanda. She's like a beauty pageant chick or fitness chick,
yeah.
Very pretty girl. And people are starting to get mad at her. You know, Miz saved her and they're booing her.
Yeah.
And afterwards I said, you know, not everybody has to like you all the time. She's like, I've just never been booed before. I said, get used to it. That's
part
of
the fun. Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
So obviously for you, like you said, coming in and being a fan since 10, when they're calling you Ratchet, you're like, this is great.
Like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
But at first, like, it's hard being a bad guy. At first, I hated it because I'm such a natural, I don't know, baby face.
But you want people to like you.
Yes.
I mean, it's hard when you're not in the business and first come in and people chanting, you know, like Jericho sucks or whatever. Like,
yeah.
If you just came in off the street, you'd be devastated.
Of
like,
course.
I don't suck.
I'm like, I'm nice.
Right. I'm
cool.
A nice person.
I work hard. Cheer for
right.
me.
So that was hard for you.
It was definitely hard for me, but now I'm having so much fun. I love when people get mad at me and, you know, what I can do to make them like turn on me just like that. Especially like when I first come out, like people cheer me. Especially now at NXT, and to see if I can change them, that's like, it's really fun.
That's the ultimate trick.
Yeah, it's so much fun. It's so much fun.
Right? Because that's the secret to the business.
Yes.
Yes, you need to have, you know, good matches. More importantly, you need to be able to manipulate the audience to do what you want them to do and react the way you want them to react and make them pay money to come see you.
Exactly.
So that's exactly the best part of it.
I love it. You know? It's so much fun.
Were you worried, or are you worried, like when we're talking about your you know, the NXT and all the great matches that you had, and basically because you'd be given the time.
Yes.
Were you worried when you first came up to WWE, like, oh, is it going to be these 5-minute matches, these 3-minute matches?
Yes, because I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I didn't know that they were going to have this revolution. I didn't even know that Becky and Charlotte were going to debut too.
Oh, really?
It was a secret. They try to keep it from us, and we all saw each other at the airport. We're just like, oh, we're just missing Bailey. But we're just like, whoa, what's going to happen? Like, we had no idea what was going to happen. And then even when we went out there, we had no idea that we're
going
to be with
these.
When
did you find out that you were going out, like, that day?
Maybe 2 hours beforehand. You know right. how this place works. Yeah. They always change it. And we're just like, yep, you're going to be with Tamina and Naomi. I'm like, hell yeah. Like, those are my girls. I'm having the most fun of my life right now. They're amazing.
Did you think maybe it would be the three of you debuting together?
That's what I thought.
Team?
Yeah, I thought it was just going to be like Team NXT mm-hmm. taking over. But
why do you think they didn't do that?
I have no idea.
Spread the love a bit, maybe.
Spread the love, yeah.
But if you're on the same team, you can't wrestle each other.
Exactly.
Maybe that's one thing.
Maybe that's it. But I'm having so much fun.
And what? How did Bailey feel? Was she sad?
She texted us that night, and she just said she's so proud.
Yeah.
And that's what we love her. We love her so much because we all support each other. If it was just Charlotte, we would be so supportive. If it was just Becky, we would just like the same amount of respect and support. So, you know, her time will come, and we're waiting
She'll
for her.
She'll get her shot.
She will get her shot because she is the most incredible person I've ever met in my life. And God, she's amazing. She's amazing in the ring.
It's amazing how close you get to the people that you know before you get to the big league.
Yes.
You know, those friendships never go away.
Yes.
No matter what happens, you know.
So it's exciting. We need the Four Horsewoman up here, and her time will definitely come, and I can't wait.
Did you, and you've had some matches so far on Raw where you've had some time.
Yes.
And were you excited? How did they go?
Yeah, my most recent one was with Paige, and we got 15 minutes, and we killed it. And it was like the crossover match, which is huge for the girls. And God, that was...
And just to explain this, and the fact you're using these terms is impressive. Crossover match is?
The crossover match is, you know, from 8 to 9, and to see if the, you know, the fans are going to stay and watch.
Right.
And they did. And
they don't want you to change the channel
in
between
programs.
Yeah, it's like the highest,
you know, rating segment. And
so they'll go from like 8:55 to 9:05.
Yeah, and I remember coming back and Vince stood up and shook our hands, and Paige said, Vince never stands up. So I was like, whoa, this is crazy. It's been crazy, man. I don't
even
know
like
how to explain
you're
it.
Still like in a little
I'm
bit
in
of
the
a,
cloud
of
nine
a days,
right now.
Yeah.
I haven't had 1 second to take it all in because I haven't had one day off. So it's just been on the go, 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 which is, I like it.
How was it? I mean, obviously you knew Triple H fairly well from NXT. He's very hands-on. I'm sure Stephanie too. How was it when you first met Vince?
Very nerve-wracking, but I told myself, don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. Please go introduce yourself. Do not be afraid of him. So it was actually when we debuted on Raw, and I was explaining something to Naomi and Tamina, and I was like doing like hand motions, and I went like this, and I hit somebody, and I turned around, and it was Vince, and I was like, oh my God. And he's like, are you guys excited? Are you guys ready for this? And we're just like, I really couldn't say anything. He still scares me.
Oh, very intimidating
he's
presence.
He's so intimidating.
You know, when you first meet him, it takes years to just, you know, took me about 8 years before I could go talk to
him. I just want to be like, hi, I'm this. I can't. Make me so nervous.
So, I mean, and I was going to ask this before, too. Like, obviously, the goal now that you're on TV and all this sort of stuff is to finally work. Obviously, WrestleMania is the biggest thing of all. But you've been at a WrestleMania before, and I've actually worked at WrestleMania.
I got to be in Triple H's entrance for WrestleMania. And I just remember going out there, and I thought I was going to throw up. Because all I just saw was a sea of fans. And I'm just like, do not mess this up. Do not mess this up. But that feeling was absolutely incredible. And I remember walking back, and I was like, that cannot be my WrestleMania moment. I need my own because that was so insane.
And what was this the Terminator entrance?
Yeah. So, no, not the Terminator. Oh, the King of Kings.
Conan.
Yeah.
So what were you guys?
We were the slave girls.
Did you have masks on or
we
something?
We did. Oh, okay. It was so much fun. It was just such an honor for him to pick us and not models. You know what I mean? He picked the NXT girls to do that. And God, we were so lucky to have him. Triple H cares so much about the future. And you can see that with NXT because that's his baby.
Yeah.
He cares so much, and he cares so much about the women too. Like, he's the reason we get so much time because he believes in us.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely don't want to let him down. So it's
and
like
you haven't though.
We haven't. And that's a good thing. And thank God.
Right?
And that's like the most nerve-wracking part. Like every takeover I have a little breakdown because I don't want them to be like, this is the match, this is why we can't have time. You know what I mean? I just, I want to show people what women wrestling can be. And, you know, so far, so good. I hope it just keeps going and going.
Were you a UFC fan? Or have you become one now with Ronda doing all the stuff?
I've always liked MMA. Mm-hmm. So for Ronda right now, like, oh, give it to her.
How important is her doing what she's doing to you?
It's so important because WWE loves to take what's going right now and
what's popular
and you know, go forward with it. So the fact that she's main eventing and the fact that her name is out there, that definitely helps the women here because they want to copy
Absolutely.
That. You know what I mean? So
it's directly influenced the Divas Revolution.
Yes, and thank God. So thank you, Rhonda.
And she did it again yesterday.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that once again, because like you said, now there's actually a legitimate huge sports icon.
Yes.
That happens to be a woman. So it's like, we better do the same. And you guys are.
And people pay money to see that. And
right.
Hopefully they do the same for us.
Do you think that you have the chance to main event a pay-per-view at some point?
I do. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I hope soon. If not this year, I hope the future of women can do that. I hope it changes for the better that, you know, it just keeps growing and getting better and we keep getting women who love and have passion for this because I just want this business to be, you know, legit rainbows and, you know, flowers.
Unicorns.
And unicorns. But, yeah, you know, I just hope that we can change it, you know? The fact that I'm here and, like, part of this revolution and that's going to be in history, like, that's crazy to me to think about that, you know what I mean? And
you're
like,
whatever happens, you were at the forefront.
Yes, you and know, people are going to remember
the first
that.
Salvo of it, yeah.
That's really cool.
Final question, two part. What's the favorite match that you've ever seen?
Oh God, that's
is there one that stands out for you
that I've seen live
or that
or ever
that you've watched, one that you enjoyed?
Wow, that's real. Oh my God, that's really hard. Of course, Eddie versus Ray, Halloween Havoc. But I also, this might surprise people, I really liked Eddie versus Ray WrestleMania. I think it was 21
mm-hmm.
or 20. No, it was 21. Just because I like that Eddie didn't cheat. And I as a fan, I'm like, you see, he didn't even need to cheat.
Was there a reason why he didn't cheat? Was it like
I have
a
no
stipulation
idea.
Or something? Or
no, it was just the opening match of WrestleMania.
Okay,
and I was
gotcha.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something, I really like that match. And I can still watch that match and go, oh, kick out. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I can
yeah.
still be a fan in that match.
I
so
love the Eddie
love
Ray
that.
Halloween Havoc, too.
That's amazing.
So Ray was wearing the Phantom
yes.
outfit.
Anything they
great,
do,
great show,
oh my
yeah.
God, incredible.
And of course, Eddie versus Brock in
yes.
San Francisco.
Yes.
Crazy.
No way out.
So you know them all.
I
you
know
are
them
legit.
All.
Are you like one of those guys like Cody Rhodes that you know
I'm not
all
as good as him, but
details?
If you give me a quiz against me and Bailey, I would definitely win.
Oh.
We're the top, you know.
So it's you marks. And Bailey. She's well.
She is, but so I would definitely beat her.
The gauntlet has been thrown down. I have to try and get you guys live yes. and do a quiz off.
I would win. She would never win.
What's your favorite match that you've ever had?
Well, it's hard. I really loved the Fatal 4-Way that the Four Horsewomen had mm-hmm. because that was really, really hard. That was
hard to put it together.
It was just hard knowing that this was our opportunity to shine because they gave us so much time and we did not want to disappoint. And God, a 4-way is just so hard. One mistake and you just throw off the whole flow of the mm-hmm. match. But that there was such a good connection in that match. And I remember when that match was over, I was just like, holy cow, that was good. And I really loved the one that me and Becky just had. That was awesome too. I was the most nervous for that one.
Yeah, that was a great one too.
Thank you.
Well, it's good to talk to you. You are one of the biggest divas and one of the future biggest divas.
Thank you.
And it's great to have you.
Thank you for
Sasha.
Having me. Sasha.
S-A-W. Sasha.
I like that.
Thanks to Sasha Banks, not Sasha, Sasha. Great to see her success in WWE and to see how much the women's division is growing and changing with her at the forefront. I'll have plenty of chances to see her work because there's still a few dates left on the Y2J Summer Tour, including this Saturday, August 15th in Detroit City, August 21st, Bridgeport, Connecticut, August 29th, San Juan, Puerto Rico, August 30th, Tallahassee, Florida. And then 2 weeks after the summer run ends, I got a little news for you. Y2J WWE Fall Tour begins. Edmonton, Calgary, Toronto, Syracuse, Rochester, Worcester, New York City, Trenton, New Jersey, going all the way to Saudi Arabia, going all the way to Mexico. So many dates coming up. You go to WWE.com and you find out all the places where Y2J is going to be. Had so much fun, I couldn't stop. Also, so much fun rocking with Fozzy. October 30th, we're heading out on the Kiss Cruise with the Kiss Navy. And then we're taking the Cinderblock Party Tour to the UK and Europe with Nonpoint and Sumo Psycho starting November 14th in Germany. Going all the way through Europe, all the way through the UK. We ended off about December 5th or 6th. FozzyRock.com, all the cities and venues and ticket information and VIP information. Come rock with us. And thank you for rocking with me here on Talk is Jericho. Thanks to being here and downloading the show twice a week for free, which means you're able to do this thanks to the great sponsors, okay, that keep this for free. Uber, Recovery Max, you get that at drugstore.com. Don't forget TNT's Public Morals by creator Edward Burns. That premieres Tuesday, August 25th. I know I will be watching, even though it's the finale of Tough Enough. I'll be watching that first and DVRing Public Morals. Who is going to win Tough Enough? We're getting down to the nittiest of grittiest, and I can't wait to see it. We'll talk all about this week's Tough Enough on Friday's show. We'll also continue to talk about Amazon. Easiest way to support Talk is Jericho. Get anything you want or need on Amazon. You do it through your TIJ links. You go to podcast1.com, click on the supporter show sponsors banner at the top of the page, then you hit Talk is Jericho button. Amazon links for USA, Canada A, and UK A. Every time we do that, Amazon kicks back a little cash to the show, so we keep doing this for free twice a week. No extra fees or hidden charges. You're just getting shopping done, helping us out in the process. Podcast1.com, supporter show sponsors banner at the top of the page, then hit the Talk is Jericho button. All right. Thanks so much to Sasha Banks. She's got a huge future ahead of her, including working at the sold-out Barclays Center for the NXT TakeOver Saturday right before SummerSlam. Amazing that they sold it out, and also amazing that my guests on Friday have a new record coming out. It's going to be Taking Over the Nation. Yeah, live. I got Bullet for my Valentine. Matt Tuck and Moose are going to be here. Great, great rock and roll band from Wales. Good friends of mine. We got some killer stories about Guns N' Roses, Metallica, Iron Maiden, and of course, Bullet for my Valentine. We will see you on Friday and a big, 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 I'm going to scream it.
Yeah, boy.
All to you. Suck up.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.